to hear the word of the Lord. Reading from the prophet Jeremiah in the 31st chapter. We are reading verses 7 through 14 as soon as I get there. Hear what the Lord says through Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, the expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in the distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hands of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. And our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. We're in the first chapter, verses 3 through 14. Hear this word from Paul. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of God's will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with a seal from the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And our gospel lesson today comes from the first chapter of the gospel according to John. If you were here on Christmas Eve, you heard us read this. You heard me read this. It was our last lesson of that service, and we begin at the very first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Actually, in the New Revised Version, it says the darkness has not overcome it. And that's a powerful imagery, isn't it? The darkness has not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love poetry. Poetry can help us express things that prose and technical writing cannot. Now, I suspect that it's because with poetry, you get to throw away the grammar. Don't you? You know, you don't have to put commas. You can put commas. It doesn't have to be a complete sentence. It doesn't have the verb in the right place. You know, you can just give imagery and words to paint pictures, thoughts, feelings, emotions, theology, abstract ideas. I first started liking poetry as a kid because my mom likes to write poetry, so she'd read to us poetry. But I really started liking poetry when I was in eighth grade English. My English teacher was charged with teaching us poetry. And she had a group that she absolutely loved, Simon and Garfunkel. So it tells you she was of a younger set of a teacher to have been that excited about Simon and Garfunkel, who were still together then. Actually, they were a new hit. And so we would study their lyrics, and they're amazing poets, really. Even Garfunkel, who sometimes people say he doesn't hold up his own too much, but he has some poetry that's pretty good. Simon, of course, we all know, does amazing things with words and creating imagery with that and giving thoughts and ideas to our concepts and our faith and our understandings. That's what this reading from the Gospel of John is. It's poetry. It's the hymnody of the early church. It's John's poem to explain his understanding of the Christ. Now, it takes us right back, doesn't it? The first verse, first chapter, takes us right away to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, to the first chapter and the first verses. Remember? There was nothing, nothing except God. And then God spoke, and the word went forth, and out of nothing it created space, stars, planets, solar systems, water, wind, the light that we have in the day and the darkness at night. Yeah. The word went forth, and that's where John picks up, doesn't it? The word goes forth. It's God, but it's not fully God because it came from God. And it goes out and it creates and it gives life and light and everything. But it goes further than that. It becomes Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Jesus, the Word made flesh. Christmas Day, December 25th, was 3 months till Good Friday. Kind of a depressing thing, isn't it? The moon calendar is a little short this year. 3 months after Christmas, we'll be celebrating the death of Jesus, fully human. Of course, 2 days later, we get to celebrate the resurrection, fully divine, fully human, fully divine, full of grace and truth, and all who receive him and believe him have the power to become children of God. That means we become like him. He becomes our sister, our brother, our leader, our best friend. The Word made flesh, the embodiment of God's Word. So, if we want to be like Jesus, though we can't be fully divine while being fully human, we can become Word made flesh, can't we? Can't we embody something? When I meet with families to plan the celebrations of life for their loved one who's died, I often have to ask them things that maybe I didn't know about the person, the story of their life. But one of the questions I sometimes have the opportunity to ask is, how do you describe this person? What words do you use, do you think of when you think of this person? Honest, hardworking, fun, right? Person of integrity, strong, calm, glue that held us all together. What words do you give to those you love who've died? And don't you hope that people will think good words about you? Yeah? So what's your word? What's your word that you're becoming? What's the word that you are in flesh representing? My mom, I think, would pick her word to be smile. In August, when I was out in Colorado for the class at the Center for Loss, I could have flown home Friday night for $600, or I could have spent the weekend free with my parents and flown home on Monday for $99. Well, it wasn't a hardship to make that decision. It might have been hard if the prices had been reversed. But I spent the weekend with my folks. I was really excited, and I thought, oh, I'm going to sleep in on a Sunday morning. This could be great, right? No, my mom was liturgist at the church she just joined. It was her first time to be the liturgist, and she was so excited, and I had to go with her. So we had to sit right in the front pew, because that's our habit. That's the way I grew up, and she needed to, you know, access getting up to read the scripture. And she practiced, and she wanted me to make sure she had all the words right, and she was a little nervous, but she did a great job. She made eye contact, she smiled, she read slowly and clearly, and I was very proud of her. And she was very happy to do it and very honored to do that. And afterwards, people were congratulating her and welcoming her into the church, and several people commented on her beautiful smile. It's one of those things that she started pondering, you know, like Mary did at the creche when the shepherds came. Because on the drive home from church, she said, you know, I remember when I was a little girl, I didn't realize it, but I must not have smiled much. And I got to thinking about it, because as soon as she said that, I remembered her mom, Grandma Opal. And I must have inherited those muscles too. The ones down here are stronger than the ones up here, you know. So even when you're not upset, you kind of look like you're frowning and you're upset. It's horrible. Yeah, I look in the mirror and I'm like, whoa, what, you know. It's like, try to ease them up there. I don't know, I should go to physical therapy and work on it, you know. That's the way my mom was. She said she just, you know, straight mouth, kind of downturned. She remembers one day she got to go to the store, run an errand for her mom. She needed something. My mom doesn't remember what, and I'm thinking it was a few decades past, like 80 years ago. So it's surprising she doesn't remember. She had the coins in her hand, and she got to run the two blocks, you know how grown up she is, down to the little corner grocery store and go in and get the purchase that mom needed and get it back home again. Responsibility, she was thriving in it, all excited. She was approaching the store. A gentleman was coming out of the store. He saw her coming, stopped and held the door for her. And as she started to go in, he said to her, "What's wrong, little girl? Are you okay?" Yeah, I'm fine," she assures him. "Oh, well, you look like your best friend just died. Are you sure you're okay?" Yeah, I'm fine." "Oh, okay. Well, I was just worried because you look so distressed." She had to figure out what distressed was, but she thought about that. It took her a few days, and she decided she was going to work at smiling and making sure that she had a smile. Because if she was feeling good inside, she wanted other people to know it, and even if she wasn't feeling very good, a smile maybe would help them feel better. Because clearly this guy was upset that she was so distressed. And so she's worked her whole life to make sure that she smiles, to give people that blessing and that joy. Now, I'm sure she has other bigger words she would like to be known for. Love, compassion, generosity. But that's what she's working to be in the flesh. A smile, a moment of joy, of lightness, of connecting with other people and lifting them up a bit. As children of God, we're invited to be the embodiment of the Word. So what's your word? What do you want to be known for? Sometimes, even though we would like to pretend it's not this way, I think that we also embody other words, words we'd like to ignore, words that upset us when we hear them, that people see that in us. And so it's not just embodying the goodness, it's also guarding against the other things. I don't want people to see me as judgmental or critical or demanding. What are some of the things you don't want to be seen as? What are the words you don't want to embody? Because they're there. They sneak up and grab us. What are you doing to make sure you aren't? And what about this congregation? The United Church of Christ in Mazomene. We're a body. What words are we bringing to flesh? How do we embody those words? Generous? Open and affirming? Welcoming, hospitable? What are some other words? What are we doing to make sure that all who encounter us see the Word in flesh. The good news is, as children of God, we don't have to do it all by ourselves on our own power. We have the grace of God, the love of God filling us and helping us. And when we choose to do that, we get even more of that grace and power to become God's words, that others might know us and we might witness to the one who came after, but was greater than us because they were before us. The Word becomes flesh, full of grace and truth. May we find our words, may we embody them. May others know God through us. Amen.